Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Today, as we explore the issues and events that connect people in this region, we have a question prompted by my conversation last week with the mayor of Paradise, California, Jody Jones. Her town had a population of 26,000 people before the campfire last November, and I asked the mayor how many people she thought might be living there this November, 1 year later. She started her answer by considering that there are 1,400 homes still standing.
So I think by November, all of those homes will probably be lived in. That's about 3,000 people at the average household size. And if we're able to get a mobile home park or two up and running by then, you might have somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people.
But how do you get an official gauge of this kind of population change? One way is through the 2020 census. But, and this was our question, how do you get an accurate census count in a place where people have been displaced by a natural disaster? And since some local funding formulas are tied to the census count, how does a town or a city preserve its economic position during this transition? NPR's national correspondent Hansi Lo Wang can help answer those questions. His beat, in fact, is the 2020 census, and he's joining us from station KUT in Austin, Texas. Hi, Hansi. Glad to have you on the program.
Hi, Beth. Thank you for having me.
So the census counting will actually begin in about a year, in April of 2020, correct?
That exactly is a reference date. It officially starts in rural Alaska in January of 2020, but most households around the country can participate about mid-March, a few weeks before Census Day, April 1st.
Let's say the recovery in Paradise will not have changed that much by then. Where do we begin to answer this question about a disaster count, which in this area is going to apply to a lot of towns hit by wildfires?
You know, this is a very complicated question and certainly is one on a long list of issues the Census Bureau is going to have to resolve before the count officially starts. And traditionally, the Census Bureau does have lots of different methods in making sure that they count every person living in the country as the Constitution requires every 10 years. And that obviously includes people living in areas affected by natural disasters like wildfires. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly what the Census Bureau is going to do just yet. They don't finalize those plans probably until closer to the start of the census. But generally speaking, they do have ways of making sure that in areas affected by natural disasters, they send census workers, dedicated census workers, to visit every address they have on file to make sure those addresses have a mailing instructing them how to participate in the census. And in some cases, sometimes the Census Bureau also, in addition to leaving a mailing with instructions or a form, they also do in-person interviews and make sure that people are counted and their information is collected. And that's, you know, one thing to keep in mind is for 2020, for the first time, all households in the U.S. will be able to participate online, which may make it easier for some folks who may be displaced, but they still have access to their phone, smartphone. If they can get on the internet, there will be a website you can put in your information. You don't have to wait for a paper form to arrive or make the effort to put it in the mail. Or you can also call a 1-800 number for the first time, and that will be available in multiple languages for the first time as well. So multiple options to allow people to make sure they participate.
I want to get back to the ways to respond in just a moment. But in the meantime, there is precedent for dealing with disasters. New Orleans, for example, post-Katrina must be one example. I think the difference now is that natural disasters in this time of climate change are hitting many more towns and cities much more often. And so the need for people on the ground to respond in this way must have really jumped.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that Puerto Rico has already been designated as a place that will receive census workers on the ground visiting every address that the Census Bureau has on file, every household address. And census workers will be leaving mailings and possibly forms and not relying on a mail service, just making sure there's that in-person delivery in order to make sure that Puerto Rico is counted.
So, Hansi, play this out for us in Paradise. And I know it's speculative at this point, but how might a count happen there next year?
Well, it's possible, again, that the Census Bureau is going to look at its, you know, list of addresses that they have for Paradise. And if it is designated as one of these areas that receives special attention, there will be census workers delivering in person mailings and forms with instructions, possibly paper forms, instructions on how to go online or call a 1-800 number. And if there is no response from that address, the Census Bureau will have to do some detective work and figure out, is this an abandoned home or is this maybe someone is displaced from their home? And the census workers will also be keeping an eye out in these areas that are hit by disasters to see where are the places that people have been displaced, where may they be living temporarily? Are there trailer parks that have popped up or are being populated? And if those areas are found, the Census Bureau may send census workers to interview people in person to make sure that those folks are counted.
I'm talking with NPR national correspondent Hanzi Lo Wang. He is at station KUT in Austin, Texas. I find it interesting, Hanzi, that this is your beat. When did that happen, and what was the conversation that led up to this in NPR's decision making?
Well, I started covering the 2020 census about 2 years ago, and you know, I started covering this in 2017. Something that isn't happening until 2020. But you know, it's really interesting and I think really important to drive home here is a lot of the decisions about the census, about the 2020 census, are made in the years before the census actually starts. How people are counted, who is counted, and what information is collected. Those are decisions that are made in the years leading up to it. And I've been tracking those decisions and trying to understand it and trying to help our listeners and our readers understand it, because this is a constitutional mandate to count every person living in the country. And these numbers, this data affect people's daily lives, believe it or not. It may seem really bureaucratic, it may seem very abstract, but these are numbers that determine how many congressional seats and electoral college votes each state gets. It also determines, as you mentioned earlier, federal funding, how that is distributed around the country. More than $880 billion a year in federal funding for schools, for roads, for other public services. It is distributed partly based on the population counts of your local community. And this census is only done once. There are no do-overs. So whatever data are collected in 2020, that's going to be data that will live with us for the next 10 years. And that's going to be the snapshot. They're going to be the building blocks to build the reality that we're all living under. The policymakers are relying on this to make sure they make sound policy decisions. Also, businesses rely on this to figure out where to build new supermarkets. So this is really fundamental to what our next 10 years is going to look like.
So back to Paradise, if its population at the time is only 3,000 or 4,000 people, that becomes the new population of the town, correct?
That would be the official population, if that is what is ultimately counted by the Census Bureau. And, you know, one other thing to keep in mind here is, you know, it's a tricky question. The census counts people where they usually live or sleep. And for folks who do a lot of traveling or maybe are displaced because of natural disasters, that's the question to keep in mind. You know, where do you put your address? And so for folks who are displaced by natural disasters like a wildfire, that can be a very complicated question. Where you're usually live or sleep, maybe at the time of the census, you're not quite sure just yet. And so that will have impact on what the official count of places hit by wildfires will be.
One of the controversies over the census has been the proposed citizenship question, and California is among a number of states and cities that are suing the Trump administration. What's the status right now of those lawsuits?
Right now, essentially, we're waiting for the Supreme Court. The lawsuits, there were two lawsuits in California that a federal judge, U.S. District Judge Richard Seaborg in San Francisco, he made a ruling recently, and he blocked a citizenship question, plans for the citizenship question. And this is a question that asks, is this person a citizen of the United States? The Trump administration says it wants that question on the census, and essentially that means that every person, it would be asked of every person in every household in the country. The Trump administration says it wants that question in order to use those responses to better enforce part of the Voting Rights Act. And this is a part of the Voting Rights Act that protects against discrimination of racial and language minorities to make sure their vote essentially is not, their voting power is not diluted within voting districts. This is a way to use those responses in order to figure that out. And just U.S. District Judge Richard Seaborg in San Francisco, as well as federal judges in New York and Maryland as part of the other lawsuits. They have all ruled that adding this question violates administrative law, is a misuse of the Commerce Department, the head of the Commerce Department, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who oversees the census. It's a misuse of his authority over the census because it is unclear what exactly is the purpose of this question. The judges have ruled that they believe this is not about the Voting Rights Act, and that collecting information through a citizenship question will not better enforce the Voting Rights Act, which already does rely on existing citizenship estimates collected by the Census Bureau. If you talk to voting rights experts, they say there's no data problem here. And so right now we're waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on an early ruling in the New York cases, because all of these rulings have been appealed at the circuit court level. Some of them have been appealed now to the Supreme Court. And ultimately, we're waiting to see what the Supreme Court is likely to rule by June. I'll be at the Supreme Court on April 23rd, where there'll be oral arguments over this issue. And the Census Bureau is waiting, and essentially the printers that they have lined up to print all the forms, they're waiting to figure out which version of the census paper form to print, one with a citizenship question or one without one. And they have to start printing, the Census Bureau says, by July 1st. So this is going to be a very tight deadline.
So these cases wouldn't stall the census. It just affects, or I guess anything is possible, but at this point, it's only affecting the printing, correct?
No, this could stall the census if there is no decision by July 1st, when the Census Bureau says these paper forms have to be printed. That not only affects the paper forms, but a string of actions that have to be taken. There is a very important to-do list that the Census Bureau has to do, and they're all interconnected. And so not meeting that deadline could affect other things down the line and could risk other preparations for the 2020 census, which again has to officially start in rural Alaska in January of 2020. So we have less than a year. And this is going to be a big issue as well, because census advocates, the Census Bureau, is trying to get ready to talk about the census more to the greater public, to encourage people to participate in the census. And these lawsuits have been filed because California, as well as other states and cities and other groups, are very concerned that this question asking about citizenship status in this current political climate of increased immigration enforcement and growing anti-immigrant rhetoric, a lot of folks are concerned that this question, if it is on the census, will discourage many households with non-citizens that may also include citizens from participating in the census, and that could risk the accuracy of the census data collected.
What happens if someone doesn't complete a census form? Is there follow-up in any way?
If you leave any of the questions incomplete on a census form, you submit that, it's possible that you may get a follow-up phone call. You may get a follow-up in-person visit from a census worker to try to fill out that information. That's possible. And according to federal law, every household is required to answer every question on the census. And if you do not, you could be subject to a fine.
So back to what you were mentioning about how people will be contacted. The census form might come in the mail. It can be completed online. There is an 800 number that's in English and Spanish where people can respond. As well as other languages. Are there concerns about information being protected with these various ways of filling out the questions?
Yes, that this is going to be the first census that every household can participate online, that brings cybersecurity risks. And this is also a major concern at the Census Bureau. And the Census Bureau has already reached out to Department of Homeland Security, as well as federal intelligence agencies, to try to be proactive and address these issues. The Census Bureau has also reached out to social media companies like Facebook and Google and Twitter to try to think how can they address possible disinformation campaigns and possible attempts to really cause confusion and disrupt the census going into not only it's going to be the first census for everyone to participate online, but also it's going to be happening during a very heated presidential race,
right?
2020.
Two
things are happening at once, the census and the presidential race.
All right, Hansi, I think we'll stay in touch with you about this, but thanks for filling in a lot of questions that we had and that our listeners had. It was great to have you on Insight.
Thank you for having me.
That is NPR national correspondent Hansi Lo Wang joining us from KUT in Austin, Texas. You can follow all of us at CAP Radio Insight. And tomorrow, Sacramento's mayor, Daryl Steinberg, will join us on this program to talk about the teacher strike, the Sac Republic FC Stadium deal, maybe even the new Kings coach. So if you have a question for the mayor, we ask that you leave us a voicemail. The number is 916-234-3279. Again, that's 916-234-3279. You might hear your question and an answer from the mayor on tomorrow's show. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.